Live from London, this is The Breakfast Show with James Clark on Teachers Talk Radio.
Good morning. Well, welcome to Teacher Talk Radio this morning. And I've got to start by saying, what has happened to our weather? I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I was dusting the shorts and now it's packed to the raincoats. This morning, though, you'll be pleased to know that I'm not talking about the weather, but talking student success, levelling out and getting everyone behind you with my special guest this morning, Head of School, Moomin Humayun.
Live from London, this is The Breakfast Show with James Clark on Teachers Talk Radio. Tune in live on the Podbean app or desktop player. Just head over to www.podbean.com/lsw/ttradio or search Teachers Talk Radio. Follow the hashtag TTRadio.
Well, hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good morning. I hope everybody is well, wherever you might be right now. I'm well aware that the morning breakfast show, lots of people are getting in their cars on their way to work and or just about to switch us on, or perhaps you've just woken up and you're making yourself a lovely hot drink or whatever that might be. Really glad to have you here. And if you're catching up with us on Rewind, on Record, is that whatever the correct terminology is? If you're catching up with us, really great to have you on board as well. And thank you so much for listening to my morning breakfast show and for tuning into Teachers Talk Radio, where absolutely the clue's in the title. This is Teachers Talk and it's all about you. So please do make sure you tune in and get involved because we've got some cracking questions that we're going to be asking today. If I say so myself, if we're allowed to ask, and I mean, one of them that we're going to be asking and talk about is, you know, what is the main thing or what is one thing a school must do to ensure student success? And this is a question that we actually asked on Twitter this week, and you have well and truly answered it in your, I was going to say thousands, but that might be a little bit too far. You've well and truly answered it quite a lot. We've got some amazing comments and views to go through from so many teachers. I'll also be joined later on today by Mr. Moomin Humayun, and we're going to be talking about that question, what is the one thing that a school must do to ensure student success, but also exploring a little bit more about his views in terms of leveling the playing field and how you get people behind you. So perhaps you've already tuned in and thinking, do you know what, I've got a view on that. I think I know what the one thing is a school must do to ensure student success. Well, get involved. All you could need to do to get involved is if you're on live on the Podbean app, you can send messages in, you can call in, you can get involved in Twitter, you can use the hashtag, hashtag TTRadio. I mean, it's just endless, all the ways to get your voices heard. And I really do want to hear those voices in today's show. But before we get into that, and before we get started fully with today's show, I'm going to give you your Wednesday morning news update. Here it is.
This is Teachers Talk Radio, and this is Teachers Talk Radio News with Megan Goods.
This is your latest Teachers Talk Radio News. Ofsted makes its return to routine inspections this month. A statement on the GovUK website outlines that the focus of their inspections will depend on a number of factors, namely, most recent inspection judgments, information held about the provider, including any recent concerns or notifications, and the amount of time since the last inspection. Ofsted stated they believe the planned summer activity will have a positive impact, and they are looking to implement the summer inspection programme to challenge and support providers effectively. The latest school's infection survey has shown a significant drop in the number of secondary school pupils and staff testing positive for coronavirus. This data comes from schools across 14 participating local authorities and has been described as encouraging. Health experts have, however, stated it is important public health measures continue within school environments to limit infections and transmission. A report in the London Economic has worked out that the cost of the proposed royal yacht in memory of Prince Philip could cover that of 86,956,522 free school meals. With 20% of state school students now qualifying for assistance, the LE felt the money would be better spent. The Queen herself is said to be well aware of the optics and displeased with the plans for the royal yacht. What does the future of education look like to you? Teachers Talk Radio wants to hear your ideas as part of its latest competition. Simply submit a video presentation of up to 10 minutes outlining your thoughts to teacherstalkradio@gmail.com. The five selected winners will receive a prize of £50 and the opportunity to present at a high-profile education conference. More information can be found on the Teachers Talk Radio website. That was your daily education news briefing.
And there we have it. Do you know what? I must admit, I do absolutely love this jingle. In the morning, it just gets me going. I'm literally just sat here now dancing to myself. So it's a good job this is probably radio, to be honest, but you can't see me. Anyway, enough of that. Let's start today's show fully, shall we? Let's talk about the question that I posed on Twitter on the Teachers Talk Radio Twitter page, which, of course, you might be sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, I didn't know there was a Teachers Talk Radio Twitter page. How can I get involved with this wonder? Well, you can easily do that by searching Teachers Talk Radio or just searching the at TT Radio 2021. So what is the one thing a school must do to ensure student success? Remember, you can get involved live today this morning as well via calling in or just dropping your views and opinions into the chat bar on the Podbean app. Now, what I found quite interesting going through this is the kind of, see, I want to say array, but also there is an array, but also lots of things were quite similar. And there's a lot of people here mentioning about behaviour and whether that is actually something that leads to student success. I mean, someone's here, if I just read through some of these that people have put, some people here just literally putting behaviour full stop or good behaviour management, says Miss A.T. Pikachu. And what a name that is. Value the people. It's always about people, says Esther Gray. I love this one by @DawnFXX, which is see each child as individuals. And I think that's so important to just make sure we're not seeing everybody as a number and seeing everybody as basically how many people can we get through the door and move on to the next thought. That's not what's about, absolutely about seeing every person as an individual. And I love this one from Miss Tina AC, consistently evaluate practice. And this one here by Jane Waters, make them feel safe, each and every one. Again, just really highlighting that every single student is an individual. And I think, you know, we can't argue the fact at all that although we're focusing on students here, we've got to see every teacher, a member of staff as an individual. And that sounds really, really basic. I'm probably lots of people listening going, well, duh. But I think actually it's those basic things that we quite often forget. This one I love by Dan Edwards that just puts care full stop. I think that's absolutely brilliant. Going through some more of these, I enjoy that somebody put three things, which was an outrage. It's very hard to try and pin down to that one, but History KSS putting in a perspective of the three things that they believe is important, and what a fantastic blog that was as well. Discovering their why, that force that will drive them to want to be happy and successful. Everyone has it. We just need to discover it, by Action Jackson. And I'm a massive fan of @ Action Jackson. So if they are listening to this show, That's amazing. I've seen the incredible stuff this person does live and the incredible motivational speaking this person does live, but I can't. And I promise I'm not being sponsored at this point at all, but I absolutely think the work they do is amazing. So thank you so much for getting involved. People are saying here that ensuring that behavior is good enough to allow kids to learn. That word I find quite interesting, good enough. What is a good enough behavior policy? Maybe I'm just opening a can of worms there as to what actually is a good enough behavior policy. I don't know. What do you think? Let us know. Hello as well to people who are getting involved. Good morning in our chat that I can see there. Thank you for commenting. Thank you for joining us. Now, this is another debate that's opened up and sparked from this question. And it says, this was by at HOD and Heart. And they said, look after and value its staff, not by bringing cakes to department office for lip service to well-being, but to actually thinking of them as professionals, humans, and truly respecting that, which is amazing. And someone then replied saying, but also bring cake. And then the reply back was, cakes are welcome, just not as the only well-being initiative. At a past school, we, the staff body, once got a tub of hot chocolate powder on the staff room table as the Christmas well-being advent. But yet never had time to pee, let alone make a hot chocolate. And I thought that was absolutely fantastic. What a great response that is to actually recognising, yes, you are doing something that's supporting us. And you know, we do appreciate that, and that's really supporting our well-being. But naturally, if you've got a strong staff body who are mentally fit and able to cope with the daily tasks that school life throws at them, and they feel strong, then naturally you're going to have, I believe, successful students, because you're going to have motivated staff who want to achieve. But it's about getting it right, you know, not just throwing in the tub of hot chocolate and saying, there we go, but not having the time to pee. And it just made me laugh, because I don't know about anybody else out there, but my goodness, my bladder, just what you want to hear on a Wednesday morning, my bladder could not cope when we got back to school after the lockdown period. I was so used to kind of being able to, you know, do my online lessons and goodness, be able to go to the loo whenever you needed. And then suddenly we come back out of lockdown and I'm restricted to when I can go to the toilet again. And I've had to retrain my bladder. Please tell me I am not alone on that one. I don't know if there's anybody else out there thinking the exact same thing, but my goodness. Anyway, enough of the bladder talk, probably on a Wednesday morning. If you've just tuned in, good morning. This is Teachers Talk Radio, not medical channel, I promise. Somebody say here as well, don't give up on any of them. The one thing to ensure student success is annoying answer, but annoying question. Sorry, it's some people not liking that question, which is quite interesting. And I think people are saying that actually we can't pin it down to one thing. And that's really interesting itself, that actually it's a whole multitude of things. Allow teachers the time to see things through. We need to stop replanning things if they don't work immediately. That's from Mr. iHistory 93. Allow teachers to teach and refine teaching. Have staff do other admin to free up teachers to just teach, which is at the Nerd LP. And then we go back to this idea of well-being as well. So at Teacher Well All saying, develop a culture of staff well-being and mental health, prioritizing, I can't speak this morning, it above all else. At iGregory 1002, invest in teacher development. And as we go through this, we're seeing again that kind of mixture of actually, is student success down to a strong staff body, or is it down to offering those opportunities to students, or is everything? And I think that's the kind of really interesting aspect about it. So do make sure you get involved, that you can still comment on the post, and you can still find it on the Teachers Talk Radio Twitter at TT Radio 2021. But of course, get involved with the chat. You know, let's hear your views. This is Teacher Talk Radio. So I really encourage you to get involved with the chat. The question is, what is the one thing a school must do to ensure student success. While you're pondering that and considering that, in this morning, we will soon, in very short, about 10 minutes time, be going live to our guest, Mr. Moomin Humayun, which I'm very excited to have on the show. No doubt, I'm sure he will have many a wonderful story for us that will have us all feeling positive, which is what we all need on a Wednesday morning. And I don't think we can start really talking about student success if we don't make note of really what's happening out there at the moment. And I've just got to use this platform to talk about something that I actually found really quite difficult and upsetting in the news that happened quite recently. And it links to education because it just really highlights for me the importance of preparing our young people, our students, for that wider world. Unfortunately, just near where I live in sort of the London area, we had the unfortunate news once again that there was a horrific knife incident that happened where, unfortunately, a young person in their early teens lost their life. And it just made me question a lot about, you know, the state of the world and what's happening with the world. And, you know, not to go too deep on this in terms of a Wednesday morning and it being quite an upsetting topic, but it just made me think, actually, if we're talking about what can we do to ensure student success, I think sometimes we focus an awful lot on the academic success, which, don't get me wrong, is really, really important. Absolutely, we need to make sure that we are supporting our students in getting the grades that they need to be able to go on and be amazingly successful in their careers. But there's more to life than the academic side, and teaching young people about the wider world and how to keep them safe. This is now where I live, in the sort of area, the third or fourth knife crime incident within the last 2 or 3 weeks. And it just honestly, I can't even have the words. And people that know me and people who listen to my show know that normally I don't have too much of a problem when it comes to speaking and giving my views and words. But last night I was genuinely a little bit in a state of shock about what happened. And it happened so close to where I live and where our school lives. And I think as a teacher, when something in your area happens, or, you know, something negatively happens, you just, if anyone's like me, I felt so, not even scared, just sorry and worried for the young people and the students that I know that I look after as part of our school and in that local area because of what's happening. And I just think, what can we be doing? You know, what can we as educators be doing to not only ensure our student academic success, but their life success generally, and their well-being and their personal development and keeping them safe? Now, I completely get, you know, that we cannot wrap them up in cotton wool and be with them 24/7. And there is the view that, you know, Is your teacher's job, I'm posing all the questions today, is a teacher's job 9 to 5 or 9 to 4 or, you know, 8:30 to 3:15? Is that our job and then it's done? You know, are we finished at that time? Which in some ways, yes, we are, but I'm not that kind of teacher, and I find it very difficult to switch off. And I just think, actually, what can we be doing to really make sure that our students are safe and aware and don't feel the need to find themselves in those situations? Now, sometimes these situations can be random acts of violence, but fairly often, in some sense, there is a reason for that act of crime. So how can we ensure that our students are not involved in that and don't feel the need to get involved in that? And there's so much I think we can be doing in terms of making students aware of that. But what do you think? You know, what is the role of a teacher when it comes to supporting our students outside of the realms of academic. Really interesting. And I just was thinking last night, and we haven't had the report back of who was involved in the incident. All we know was that there was a group of young boys and a fight broke out. And unfortunately, someone had a knife and that person then lost their life in a shopping centre, which scared me even more, I think, that this happened in a massively public area. And then, you know, only a week or so ago, we had a similar situation on a bus. And I just think, what is happening? You know, what is going on out there? And my role as head of PSHE within a school, you know, you start thinking about actually what can we do, preventing knife crime. And I'd be really interested to hear that. You know, is there anything you've done in your local schools or your local area to support students' awareness, or when it comes to things like knife crime? What have you been doing to make sure your students can be as successful in life and not be involved in those instances as possible? I'd be really interested to know. So get involved this morning via the chat, get involved by Teachers Talk Radio Twitter, and get in touch. Tune in, talk it out is what we say, and I genuinely do mean that. While we're thinking about this and carrying on this theme of success, I go now to a few more points that people have been putting on the Twitter. I also need to stop calling it the Twitter. Having worked, I don't know if anybody else has this, but lots of students I've been working with at the moment are calling it, you know, the Twitter or the TikTok, which is now embedded into my own way of speaking. The teacher salary, at teacher salary, saying recruit and retain excellent and diverse teachers, including by paying them competitive salaries. Oh, that's another topic we could really delve into, and really interesting points there. How about, and to maximize student success, which variables are the most important? And it's just so interesting. I'm just sitting here now flicking through these incredible answers that people have put. Again, as some of these I go back to, just don't give up on any of them. And that is so, so important. And believing in them and actively showing that. You know, I think my answer to this question is simply the thing that a school must do to ensure student success is to listen. And the key word there is actively listen, not just as a token, not just as a, right, here we go, yep, cool, this is nice, well done, thank you, moving on. No, that's not giving students success. That's belittling students and not allowing them the opportunity to actually have their voices heard. So listening, actively listening, and acting on that and displaying that and sharing that, and not just again doing it as a kind of tick box, oh, look how good we are. No. You need to listen, and your students will be honest. I ran a survey with some of our year 11s around the PSHE curriculum and asking them for their feedback. And my goodness, was it honest? really, really honest, and very, very true, you know. But how on earth can we just guess and assume what we know to make student success without actually talking to them? So I think that's a really important aspect. And, you know, they were saying things as part of the survey that I had never thought of before. And I was like, actually, that is so true. How did I never think of that? Absolutely right. What do you think? You know, how are you ensuring that success? I'm going to be joined very, very soon by Mr. Moomin Hamayan, who's just going to be joining us soon. So make sure you get involved. Thank you so much already to lots of people who are tuning in already, who are sending in their love, their hearts, which always feels nice. It's always nice when you look in the morning and you can see all of these wonderful love hearts pouring in for our guests and for this show. And I know lots of you have been commenting back when you re-listen to this and you catch it on Spotify or Apple Pod, wherever you are listening to it after, saying how much you are enjoying these shows. And that's really, really great. But I'm so thankful to all of you for tuning in and getting involved. So join me in a moment, very shortly, where I'm going to be calling in Mr. Moomin Hamayan, and we are going to be putting him in the hot seat and asking him a few questions. Okay, and this is the moment of the show where I always hold my breath as I just about let in our guests Moomin and hope that technology is on our side. Fingers crossed, everybody, as we welcome onto our show Mr. Moomin Humayun.
Morning, James. Can you hear me?
Good morning.
Morning, James.
Morning, morning. How are you? It worked. That's always good.
I forgot to log in because I was so enthralled listening to you, James. I forgot to click the sign-in button.
No problem at all. Well, it worked. That's always good. How are you doing? How's your morning going?
The morning's, well, obviously in school. Obviously, I wanted to thank you for inviting me in. And just obviously before we start, thoughts are with the family of the young man who was fatally stabbed yesterday. So thank you, James, for highlighting that. It just kind of a reflection on, you know, challenges that we're all facing, not just in schools, but as a society.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it just, I think it really hits home, you know, when it happens so local as well. I think we see it, unfortunately, probably far too often in the news and in the media, but actually when it's so local to you, it really hits home again and makes you realize, wow, actually this is real. This is real life and this is what we're facing.
Yeah, no, 100%.
So if we could just, you know, start today by just introducing yourself. Tell us about your life. Who are you, Moomin, and how did you get into your teaching? In brief, if you can.
James, I'm listening to you. My life really isn't that exciting. But I'm going to give you a quick kind of bio of the who, what, why and when. So my name's Moomin Humayun. I'm head of school at the Stockwood Park Academy, part of the Shared Learning Trust, and it's in Luton. I've been teaching since 2002, and I'm still teaching. I have two lessons today, James. I thought I'd add that in.
important to add, I'm sure.
Of course. If any of my colleagues are listening, they'll just be rolling their eyes. After completing my master's, I went to do my PGCE. I started teaching PSHE and RE, became head of PSHE and RE, moved to another school to lead as head of year, and then I moved to become an assistant head at my third school, where I reached the dizzy heights of associate head teacher, and I moved into my current position in January last year as head of school. So varied schools, but I've really had a really positive experience in most of my schools, despite the challenges. I think I've learned a great deal from all the people I've worked with.
Amazing. And as it is a Wednesday morning, dream breakfast, what would it be?
Well, I'm glad, you know, of all the questions you could have asked me, James, I'm fasting at the moment.
I know, yeah.
I don't actually do breakfast during the week, which I wouldn't recommend. I say to everybody, make sure you have a breakfast. But at the weekend, I'm going with pancakes with blueberries and maple syrup, because that's a combination that you can't go wrong with.
Oh, wow. I'm quite jealous of that one. That's quite impressive. So I just want to talk about the fact, to start with, of you being a head of school, and then what, I think maybe a few months, 6 months, however long it was later, you then get hit by a pandemic. We've got to address it. How has that been for you?
I did actually, I've got a diary for the last year, probably something that I can't publish just because of kind of what the diary contains, but, you know, outlines my start. And then, you know, as we head into March last year, it's just this kind of whirlpool of chaos where kind of everything seems to be, you know, going crazy. I think we had nearly 30 members of staff absent at one stage. And I thought, this is absolute madness. So setting into a new school is a challenge, but in a pandemic, it's doubly hard. But I also have had such a warm welcome from staff and students. And the thing is, there's lots of handbooks about how to be a better teacher, how to be a better leader. Nobody had written a book about how to see a school through a pandemic. And I think all school leaders were experiencing at the same time, trying to make sense of it all. And it's been a steep learning curve, but I think we've learned a great deal. And, you know, I reflect on it now and think, what happened? But, you know, we are now hopefully, you know, nearing the other side. But it was a challenge. But I think it also taught all of us a lot about the roles that schools play in society and the importance of, you know, education, but particularly the teachers and staff in school, the admin staff, the support staff, the role they play in society. And it really kind of shone a light on what goes on behind the background.
Mm. And I mean, if all else fails with, you know, this teaching malarkey movement, perhaps you can go and write that book.
Serious Ed's out. Yeah, I think we've all got a book in us. I'm not sure this book is worth publishing, but
I can imagine there are hundreds of diaries up and down. I'm sure they make for fascinating, interesting, though, honestly. So I know that you are, you know, massively passionate, and you have it in your Twitter bio and everything about leveling out the playing field. So what does that actually mean to you, and what does that look like in practice?
So, I mean, I often use the phrase level playing field when I'm talking to staff, to parents, to students. And it's a concept about fairness. So we can make a situation more fair by giving more fair and balanced by giving opportunities to those who would normally be at a disadvantage. And I've always worked in schools with high levels of disadvantage. And in school, what does that mean? Well, it means having high expectations of staff and students, having high aspirations, so not allowing students to kind of always look at doing the minimum, ensuring that students feel valued, you know, making sure they have the best teachers and support staff in school, the best, you know, pastoral care to make sure that not only am I focusing on what's happening in the lesson, but also what's happening outside the lesson, and adding value, so developing opportunities for cultural and social capital. Those are kind of things. It's really modelling that concept in our behaviours and actions.
But, you know, you have, I'm sure, 150 things to do in a day, although if any of your staff are listening, I'm sure they're like, what do you actually do? But so why do you feel so passionately about this? As I say, you've got so much out there to be worrying about, so much to do. We're in the middle of pandemic, you're having to organize all of that, do last minute changes. Why do you hold this though so close to your heart and feel so passionate about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it, you know, like for many teachers and many adults, you know, our backgrounds and our upbringing inform who we are and what we are. So my background, I, you know, grew up in a very comfortable upbringing in a leafy suburb. But then I think mid-80s, we lost everything. So I became the classic free school meal child. My parents weren't educated, but they valued education. And one of my moral drivers has always been to leave the world in a better place than I found it. And it's simple, and I know it's very kind of, you might think, very wishful thinking, but it's a simple concept. And kind of I'm driven to try and create a fairer, more inclusive society. And whenever I say that, people think, well, what do you think you can do? You know, you just work in school. And I think, well, actually, I'm going to do my bit to make that change. I guess it's a lot to do with my upbringing and the values I was raised with. And, you know, I just think everyone deserves an opportunity and a chance to reach their potential. And I do see, you know, I think, you know, we live in a society which isn't always fair. But, you know, I if I look at where I've come from to where I am now, I think actually I'm in the position now where I can, you know, I'm in a position where I can have an influence, an impact on a number of lives. And why wouldn't I do that? Why wouldn't I take that opportunity to try and make a difference?
No, so true. Absolutely amazing. And yeah, I don't think I've ever actually asked this question, but just as we were talking there about kind of, you know, wanting to go and make a difference and things like that, did you always want to be a teacher? And this was a question that I think we were exploring on Teachers Talk Radio previously a couple of weeks back about, you know, why we fell into teaching. I mean, was this the career choice for you, or did it just sort of happen?
If I'm going to be completely honest with you, James, I was going to say, yeah, since I was a young kid. Yeah. I think I wanted to, after I completed my master's, I did enrol in a PhD, but I'd only got funding for a year. And I thought I wanted to teach. I thought I'd get into teaching, you know, later on in life. I wanted to do research on how the brain works, how young people kind of learn. My background is cognitive science. And then this opportunity came to teach. And I embarked on my PGCE, came into my first job, and one of the first things that the first head said to me, and I remember it, she said, "Yeah, you're going to be a role model." And I laughed as I think, role model for what?
It's like positive or that's it.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought, okay, all right, fine. And I really enjoyed teaching, but I didn't have a plan. Like I didn't think at any stage, I want to be head teacher or head of department. It's kind of, as I'm doing the job, I feel I'm really enjoying this and I feel I'm making a difference. And then there's opportunities that either have come my way or I've kind of thought, oh, yeah, I'd like to try something different. So I've never had a grand plan to get to be where I am, but I still feel wherever I've been in my career, I've been able to kind of make the difference to young people around me. That's been my kind of driver. Mm. What can I do? Whereas now, I suppose I'm working less directly with young people, but trying to create the climate and culture to allow the staff to drive forward the changes that I like.
But important to note, 2 hours is today still though, yeah? 2 hours of teaching that.
Listen, 2 hours, and just if I add, I've got my a pile of two assessments that were also marked as well.
Although living the dream.
I'll stop talking because having spoken to English colleagues, year 11 English colleagues, yeah. I'm going to now just zip it because I'm going to get into trouble.
You know they'll be waiting for you. So there are undoubtedly, you've covered a few of them there and we were talking about them earlier, a lot of things that your schools are doing. We can go global with this to ensure that students are successful. But the big question we're really focusing on today, and I know you've got lots of views and ideas on this, is what do you think, and I'm going to try and tie you down to one. So what do you think is the most important thing a school should be doing to ensure student success? I know you've highlighted a few there, but what's that one?
Okay, before I get to the one, because it's always difficult for me to just, it's hard because the school's like a jigsaw and when pieces are missing, the picture's incomplete. And
oh, I love that one.
Yeah, all the pieces matter because if something's missing, the picture's not complete. But the question is, what are the most important pieces? And I think in order to maximise student success, there are a range of things we need to do. And I will hone in on one, but I would say similarly to making a cup of tea, what's the most important thing? Is it the water, the milk, the type of tea, the temperature? Well, actually, without any of those things, you're not going to have the perfect cup of tea. So it is a mix. But these are the things I think we do need. It starts off with kind of high expectations, looking after and valuing staff, because I think the quality of teaching remains, for me, one of the most influential, if not the most influential factor. Getting the curriculum right, recruiting and retaining excellent staff, continuing to develop them when they're with you. So it's not just getting staff, but it's continuing their development. And ensuring students feel safe. If students don't feel safe, then you're not going to have to maximise their success. Minimising distractions, because behaviour in and out of the classroom, particularly peer culture, that has a significant effect on, and we know students that arrive in year seven and how much they can change over their time. Peer influence is a powerful thing. Ensuring that students are reading, we don't talk, that's for me is a massive key driver, and including parents in the journey. So there's a number of things, and I think I wouldn't expect anyone to disagree with that list. You could add some more things in, but I think those things are all key. But I'd probably still go back to, and I know I was thinking, is it the quality of the curriculum? Curriculum is king, but I still feel the quality of teaching remains the key, and that's about recruitment, retaining excellent staff. And I think that if you have that, that's a real strong foundation for maximizing student success, and you retain excellent staff by making sure that they're looked after and valued. So that I'm going to go with recruiting and retaining excellent staff.
You did manage to slip in a few others though, so I'll give you that. Very well worded. That's what it is. No, really, it's so important. And I think that links nicely into kind of what we're going to look at next, and kind of actually, how do you then ensure that, you talk there about the importance of staff and recruiting, strong staff. So how do you ensure that your staff are behind you and support your view and your vision as a head of school? Because that must be really difficult time. Because, I mean, if you don't mind asking, what's the kind of, and putting you on the spot here, how many staff do you have in your school? What kind of size is your school, to give that bit of context as well?
In total, probably looking at, when I say the number, it's like, oh my God, there's a lot of people here. We're looking at about 156 people.
Wow, yeah. No pressure.
So what does it look like? And in terms of communicating, I think there's a range. Oh, my headphones have fallen out. I think there's a range. I think firstly, it's being, clear, strong leadership, clear communication and modelling behaviours to create the right culture. And I use that phrase, and I hope I get it right, but it's kind of what you permit, you promote, what you allow, you encourage. So I think for me, it's really important about making sure the communication is key and clear, planning. I have to be quite relentless in my focus and to not be kind of distracted or kind of sidetracked and not being afraid to make decisions. I think when you've got 150 people, you've got so many students, everyone has got their opinion in many ways. And I don't mean this in any way disrespectfully to anybody listening, is that everybody is an expert in education and teaching. So you're tasked with making really important decisions that do affect lots of people. But I think what staff are looking for is actually they don't want the indecision. They'd like somebody who's able to make a decision, not afraid to make a decision. And I guess walking the walk and talking the talk. So I think, yes, I teach, but a lot of it is also symbolic to say, look, I still understand what it's like. It helps me build relationships with students, but I'm not someone who is sat in an office. I'm out. I want to be out in the corridors when there is I will meet with parents. So it's being open, transparent, clear communication, but also having a plan. And I think that we're on the journey to where we want to get to, because we've got those things in place. And I will add, working in a trust, amazing executive head who offers, a real degree of support and challenge, and the CEO of the trust as well, who is very supportive. So I work in a very supportive environment, but I'd say it's the support and challenge. So always being kind of pushed out of my comfort zone. And that's what I like to do with staff as well. I think, I don't think we should settle. I'm not someone who just, settles. We can do better. We have to do better.
I think as well, alongside your diary book that you're gonna I think you need a book of Moomin quotes. I think you've got some cracking ones. I think the tea analogy is my favorite this morning, actually. I really enjoyed that one. I think it's perfect, because again, I mean, you can look at schools like making a cup of tea, because you've got that whole debate of, do you put the milk in first, do you put the water in first? It's the same with schools, is how do you make it so everyone has their own way.
And some people, and the point is, some people have some schools and or some people in their cupboard have lots of selections of teas.
Yeah.
Some people have a thermometer where they can measure the temperature. So different schools are at different stages of their development. So it's not going to be, I suppose, what to maximise student success, not every school is at the same stage of its development. So I think there are core things that we can all do, but equally different schools have got different needs, and it's about serving the local community. I think we forget about the fact that we are not robots, and it's not kind of off a conveyor belt. Schools are different because they're serving different catchment areas, they've got different pressures.
Yeah.
So I think it's worth kind of recognizing that we're not all the same.
But why, I mean, in education, and I'm learning this, obviously I've not been in education too long as yourself. I know you've been a little bit longer than I have. It's all the same, Mimi. So why do you, we've got all of these brains, and, there's all of these ideas and things that come out every single, it feels like every 5 minutes there's a new theory or a new idea that's coming out for education. Why then do you think, with all of these brains across the globe, can no one agree on what we need to do for success? Why is there no one set formula of this is how you can achieve that? And I think you've touched on that a little bit,
yeah.
But what do you think?
So, yeah, I mean, James, I really started actively using Twitter in January this year.
Yeah, you hit by storm.
I wouldn't go that far. I've got no time for Twitter, but my executive head is like...
Oh, that's a lie. You use it all the time. That's it.
I do now. Yeah. But before then, and I thought she said, look, you know, it's good to connect. And I thought, okay, fine.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And now,
yeah.
I think it's great. What I didn't realise was... kind of the sheer kind of the polar views within the sector. And I'm like, oh my God, like these are kind of educators and we're so wildly different in how we see things. So even, you know, whether you want to talk about behavior, you know, we talk about silent corridors, you know, talking about, you know, zero tolerance, mobile phones, not so much an argument. I think that's I think we all agree, you know, mobile phones are a distraction. I don't think educators will wildly disagree on the key ingredients that I mentioned earlier. But I think, as I've said, it's important to appreciate that different schools have different contexts and are serving different communities and at different stages of their development. So the exact needs and priorities might rank differently, but I'm sure that we're all in agreement in wanting students to leave school having achieved their personal best. And that includes kind of qualifications, being well-rounded, being well-informed citizens. But I don't think there is a, and we're talking about human beings, it's an emotional kind of, you know, profession, you know, we're not talking about if you add these ingredients, this will happen because things change. I mean, if you look, you know, young people are developing and, you know, the brain is, there's so many factors at play. So I don't think there's ever going to be a set of, you know, components that everyone thinks if we do these things, because if we did, you know, every school would be amazing. But that's not the case. But I think there are some common ingredients that we're all trying to master or to get to create the right environment for our schools to flourish.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And I was trying to think just before you joined the call, you used to have one of my favorite quotes used to always say, I can't remember what it was, not making it up, but I can't remember. It'll come to me later, I'm sure, whenever you're in the hallway. It's like, how are you doing? And you were like, oh yeah, all good. it'll come to me later. I can't forget what that quote was now. You always used to say it. So at Teachers Talk Radio, they're running a bit of a competition about the future of education. So how do you imagine the future looking? What do you think the next step? You know, we've gone through this pandemic. We've gone through all these changes. The world's a different place. What's the future, do you think?
Yeah, James, sometimes I struggle to see past the next hour, let alone the future of education. But
it's all on you, Mr. Hermione.
It's all on me. I think, listen, I think about the year sevens that are going to be joining us in September, and then I fast forward, and you know they'll be but in 2033, 2034 they'll be young adults. So what we're doing, we're tasked with preparing them for jobs that probably haven't yet been created, for some technologies that probably haven't been invented, and to solve problems that haven't been anticipated. And the last year kind of highlighted kind of lots of problems that we didn't anticipate, but we had to be creative to solve them. So I think in terms of, you know, how it will look, I think it's a shared responsibility. What I'd hope is that we work together to find solutions. So I don't have an answer, but I think the future of education, if anything that's taught us, is the importance of teachers. And if you're unsure of that, speak to any parent that had to school their child during lockdown.
Yeah, yeah.
I think teachers remain key, and schools remain key in the future of education. I think we've learned a lot from remote learning, online teaching, but I think it's a while before schools as we know it are replaced any time soon. And I hope that we realise and appreciate the roles that schools play in wider society. Just one thing I did want to add, last March, one of my colleagues came to see me, wanted to set up a food distribution hub from the school in linking up with a charity, Go Dharmic. And initially we had 30 food parcels on the first weekend. We're now in May 2021, and on Saturday just gone, we gave out, distributed over 220 food parcels on a Saturday. So I think the future of education is positive, but the role of school remains key in creating a fairer, more just society.
I think, like you say, that's definitely become even more important during the pandemic and the lockdown and what we've seen with schools reaching out to their community. And how has the other side of it been for you in terms of having to be a head of school, but also having your son and having to play teacher at home? I mean, how did that work for you over that period? Did you find it difficult, or was it a case of you're going into school, there it is, I'm moving on?
It is difficult, and you know, I'm not proud to say, you know, often, you know, I'd leave my son to his own devices because he's a lovely boy and everything else. And just most recently, I've realised the sheer stress he's been feeling with as being a Year 11 student. And it's the first time in my life that I've seen him quite low. And I think like 2 weeks ago, he's been very kind of withdrawn. And normally you'd say, well, you know, all teenagers are very much like that. But it was more extreme. And he said, look, Dad, it's so frustrating. Like, everything seems to be going against me. And you know, my son, by all accounts, has so many, you know, privileges. You know, he's had a very privileged upbringing. So I'm not going to kind of play the poor me card. But young people have had to deal with an awful lot of, you know, uncertainty, anxiety and stress. And I suppose it's important to recognise that and not to kind of dismiss their lived experiences as they currently are, and to realise that they've missed out on a great deal. You know, even the end of this academic year, many of the rites of passage that students would normally have, then that they won't experience. So, he's coping well, but I think, you know, we'll look back on it and hopefully learn from it. But I think it's been challenging, and I do feel sorry for a lot of young people. But I think hopefully it will provide them with the tools to flourish later. You know, what doesn't break us, hopefully will make us stronger.
No, absolutely. And I mean, your role as all teachers' roles have over the last 6 months or so must have massively changed from, you know, an even more stronger focus on your pastoral system and your PSHE curriculum and what you do in form times and things like that. It must have massively changed. Is there anything, you know, you've learned from this process for you that actually go, do you know what, we're going to keep this past the pandemic, or anything that you kind of look at and go, do you know what, this didn't exist, or it wasn't perhaps in my mind before, but now I realise that actually we're going to continue this forward? Is there any learning that you've had either in your role as head of school or generally in the school during this time?
I think the systems we had here were really positive, but what we weren't ready for was necessarily the sheer volume of additional referrals. I think lots of schools are facing the same challenges. You know, you're dealing with your resources to deal with it. You know, we have a school counsellor. We also have a counsellor for staff as well. And there's additional kind of therapeutic support for students. But I think just responding to the sheer volume of young people that are crying out for help. And for me, the way forward is really the early intervention. I think far too long we're waiting we're waiting too late into the game.
Yeah.
Trying to kind of work on what often looks broken. And I think, well, let's start earlier. Let's get in there early, whether it's working with primary schools, with the year sevens, to make sure that there is a culture of where young people, there's high expectations. So we expect them to behave, to be on time, the uniforms correct, to work on time, but also a supportive culture where young people feel valued and also listened to. And I don't think it's a binary conversation. I think you can have a school environment which has high standards, high expectations. That doesn't mean that you don't care and you don't value what young people are about, and you doesn't mean that you don't want to listen to young people. So I think, you know, it's continuing with what we're doing, but it's a massive challenge.
It's no, like you said earlier, there's no one way, and nobody's really worked out. And I think it's so linked to your local area and your students and what's impacting you and what's impacted, you know, what's happening daily, I guess, almost for where you are.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. And I just say, and I know in our particular area, it's high deprivation. I say to students, look, that doesn't mean that I expect any less of you, but it's also, you know, accepting the reality of the world we're living in. You know, it's not an excuse, but it's acknowledging that. But also realizing, yeah, guess what? You know, the challenges might be greater for you, but you need to double up on what you do. Like, you know, life isn't always fair, but education is a pathway, is a route to, you know, get to a place where you might otherwise not get to.
No, absolutely. And I think I'm aware how busy you are, so I've just got one or two more things to ask. And the next one I've got to ask, and I've got to give a little bit of context behind it. I'm going to put you on the spot here. So obviously, for those who don't know, I had the privilege of working alongside you, Moomin, a couple of years ago now. And an incident happened, didn't it, Moomin? On a ski slope, on a ski bike, which we would not recommend. So I've got to ask for your own sort of well-being, how is the ribs? How are they?
I thought you were going to mention that. Yeah, imagine coming back from Andorra, going into A&E and seeing Mr. Clark enter, you know, two minutes after. You know, my ribs are fine. And one thing I am looking forward to is school trips starting up again. I'm not sure whether I will go on a ski bike again. I think I've probably learnt my lesson there. That was a very painful experience. James, thank you for reminding me of it.
No, not at all. And I would hate for that story to not carry on into a new workplace. I feel that, you know, it's a treasure that must be kept. But I mean, that is a really important one. One final question, if I may, is, you know, what is your plan with when it comes to trips and things moving forward? And is that something you're really actively looking forward to? And what do you think the value of them is? Because that's a question that we've not really spoken about too much yet, because we've been focused so much on the teaching world and the academic side of it all.
Well, yeah, we'll be launching the DOV at Stockwood in September. And already we've, you know, all the after school clubs have started. And I think, you know, for me, I'm passionate about extracurricular and adding value after the school day. Now, some of that might involve additional, you know, tuition. And we have lots of students getting additional maths and English support. But I also think from a health and wellbeing perspective, we need to make sure students are active, are engaged, are developing those relationships with positive relationships with others. So I'm really looking forward to getting back to be able to do those other things. You know, I want to take the year sevens to Oxford and Cambridge. You know, one of the things I talk about aspirations. Well, they're just words, but taking, you know, a student and their parent, and a group of them to a local university and saying, look, this is where this is an opportunity. That's where I want to get back to. 100%, I think I really want to get back to school trips and adding value and doing more than what we're able to do at the moment because of restrictions.
But not ski slopes.
Well, it's happening. I haven't booked my seat on the coach yet.
Safety precaution.
We could look at a joint trip, James. Yeah, that might be.
We'll take it out on the school insurance. I love it. Mate, well, thank you. I mean, Moomin, I know how incredibly busy you are, so really do appreciate it in your time. You obviously, as we said, you have joined the Twitter universe. Where can we, obviously, you know, we're really lucky that these conversations and these podcasts go back onto places like Spotify, on Apple, and, you know, I'm sure there'll be floods of thousands who are going to hear your voice, as we've had, you know, I think it's like ridiculous, like over 50,000 downloads or so in the last couple of weeks. So people are going to want to reach you, Moomin, and find out where they can find you and your words of wisdom. How can they reach out to you?
So the Twitter handle is Mr_H1978. It's Mr. Moomin Humayun. And I've been really surprised. Listen, I'm not going to claim to know anything. There are far kind of, you know, greater minds out there. But really surprised. I've had a few kind of messages from people just sometimes asking for advice. In my head, I'm thinking, well, you know, what do I know? So really humbled by that. But if anybody does need any support, do you know, message me and I'll get back to you as I can. And often, you know, one thing I didn't mention, which I never thought was such a big issue, but the 1%, I realise, especially from being an ethnic minority, there aren't significant numbers of head teachers in the country. And I didn't kind of appreciate that fully until more recently. And I'm like, okay, fine. You know, it is a privilege, and suppose if I'm in a position, if I can support and help others, please do contact me, and I'll try and do what I can. Although I put my hand up, I'm still learning as well, and I hope to continue learning for as long as I'm in this business.
And, you know, you do post some fascinating pictures of food as well, which is always good.
Yeah, I think we've only got a week left, and then I'll be able to eat the food all the time rather than post pictures.
Teasing yourself, that's what it is. Well, thank you so much for your time, Moomin. I really do appreciate it. You've been absolutely amazing to speak to. So thank you for taking your time out to speak to us this morning. And I know you've got lots to carry on with today between your lessons and everything else, and meetings, I'm sure, galore. I just had to put that back in as a reminder. But thank you so much for your time, Moomin.
All the best, James. Take care.
All the best. Thank you. And there we go. That was Moomin Homayoun. What a great person to have on board and speaking with us this morning, and really enjoyed it. So thank you again to Moomin for that. And what some great analogies we've had this morning. I'm loving the one around the tea, because I just think that's awesome. I think that's such a great way to think about schools and to think about education, I guess, almost altogether, is schools are a cup of tea. You know, we are like a cup of tea, and just like tea, we all have our own ways that we prefer it, whether it's with the milk first and the way we make it, or whether it's with a particular type of milk, oat milk, rice milk, whatever it might be. And then you go down that whole selection of tea bags. I mean, whew, where'd you go with that one? I mean, what tea do you want? And then, you know, you've got the sugar, and you're trying to mix all of that together. And sometimes you're going to try things, as we all have. If those of us who drink tea, you try new teas and you go, oh my goodness, no, stick to an Earl Grey, give me the basic, that's what I want. But actually, until we give it a go, we don't know. So that is just great. And the analogy, you know, Moomin had about the puzzle piece and schools being a puzzle, and it's, you know, to make that whole picture, we need every single person involved. Every single person holds a piece to that puzzle, which is so important. And I don't know about anybody else, but during lockdown, I tried to do the whole puzzle thing. I was living on my own, so I joined up with a fellow teacher, and I tried to do a puzzle, and I cannot tell you anything more annoying than spending a week. I thought I'd get something really challenging. A week on this world map puzzle to find out a piece was missing. And it was impossible to do. But, you know, linking that to teachers and to schools, you know, that's the case. Sometimes we've got to spend a lot of time pulling things together to then find out actually that didn't work. But that's fine. We'll put it back in the box. We'll save it for another day. Perhaps now's not the time, right time. That's just my analogies, and the way that I've looked into that was absolutely amazing. Thank you so much to everybody who's been tuning in throughout today's show. I've had some messages coming in as well. I believe she is still listening. Claire got in touch with me privately, and I know Claire is actually in hospital at the moment. So I wish you a speedy recovery, Claire. And you were saying how bizarre it is to be sat in a hospital bed listening to my voice. So amazing that we are reaching our audiences literally everywhere this morning, from hospital beds to your way into school, to your in school, wherever you might be, getting yourself ready for the day. Let me know what it is. How are you starting your Wednesday morning today? And how are you joining us live? Let us know via the Podbean app, or get involved in social media and hashtag TT Radio. I'm going to share a few more of my thoughts, and we're going to break down that conversation a little bit further. But here is your Wednesday news update for you.
This is Teachers Talk Radio, and this is Teachers Talk Radio News with Megan Goods.
This is your latest Teachers Talk Radio News. Ofsted makes its return to routine inspections this month. A statement on the GovUK website outlines that the focus of their inspections will depend on a number of factors, namely, most recent inspection judgments, information held about the provider, including any recent concerns or notifications, and the amount of time since the last inspection. Ofsted stated they believe the planned summer activity will have a positive impact, and they are looking to implement the summer inspection programme to challenge and support providers effectively. The latest school's infection survey has shown a significant drop in the number of secondary school pupils and staff testing positive for coronavirus. This data comes from schools across 14 participating local authorities and has been described as encouraging. Health experts have, however, stated it is important public health measures continue within school environments to limit infections and transmission. A report in the London Economic has worked out that the cost of the proposed royal yacht in memory of Prince Philip could cover that of 86,956,522 free school meals. With 20% of state school students now qualifying for assistance, the LE felt the money would be better spent. The Queen herself is said to be well aware of the optics and displeased with the plans for the royal yacht. What does the future of education look like to you? Teachers Talk Radio wants to hear your ideas as part of its latest competition. Simply submit a video presentation of up to 10 minutes outlining your thoughts to teacherstalkradio@gmail.com. The five selected winners will receive a prize of £50 and the opportunity to present at a high-profile education conference. More information can be found on the Teachers Talk Radio website. That was your daily education news briefing.
And there we have it. Amazing as always, and gives me excuse to play my upbeat summer party music to get me going on the Wednesday morning. So let's talk looking ahead, shall we? Before we break that down, I'm really excited that we've got some fantastic shows lined up on Teacher Talk Radio. And what's even more exciting is that we have some gaps, which might sound odd as a way of me saying that's exciting, but it's exciting because those gaps could be filled by you. We are looking for some new hosts for Teacher Talk Radio. We've got some gaps in this schedule that we would love to get filled, and we would love to be in a position where we can offer these podcasts pretty much anytime throughout the day so people can tune in whenever they can and catch up with the amazing topics that are on offer. If I've learned anything about my time in teaching and on Twitter and on running this show is, my goodness, we have so much in education that we can talk about. So perhaps you've got a view, or perhaps you want to be sat here, not literally here in North London, wherever you might be, sat in your house, school, wherever you are, being a radio presenter, which would be pretty cool. And I can tell you now, this is my third or fourth show, and I'm absolutely loving it. I have met some amazing people, and if you haven't listened to any of them before or don't know what I'm talking about, please go on to Teacher Talk Radio, listen to the shows, because honestly, they are amazing and I'm learning so much from listening to them. And I'm so thankful that this was set up, because you've got a real diverse and inclusive voice of teachers to be heard. So do that. Looking forward to June, I am looking for drama, dance, music, art, any form of creative teachers or people in those backgrounds, because I want to celebrate creatives in the subject. For those who don't know, there is a lot happening in the news at the moment, including 50% cuts to funding at higher education for creative-based subjects. As somebody who studied a drama degree, to say I'm upset by this would be an understatement. So I don't want to get angry or get negative about it. I want to celebrate the creatives and celebrate what they do and what they offer our students, which is massive. I would not be the person I am today or even be here today was it not for drama being in my life and drama teachers you know, there's no way I'd be who I am. So I think it's really important to celebrate that. So I do want to get involved with anyone who's a drama, dance, music, art, or creative teacher, anyone who works in the industry, because throughout June, we're going to be celebrating that. So June 2nd, we're going to be talking about getting creative in the classroom, how creativity can be embedded across the school. Because I don't think it's just down to the drama, the music, the dance, the art teachers to be spreading creativity. I think there's something we all can do. So perhaps actually you are doing something creative in your classroom and you want to get your views heard, get in touch. On the 9th of June, I'll be looking at what the purpose, does the creative arts serve in the curriculum? And is it just taking up time from core subjects? Am I just wasting everybody's time in my drama studio? I've got my answer and my view to that question, but what do you think? Get in touch on June. June 16th, we're talking about the COVID effect. How has COVID impacted your subject? You know, I can't think of any subjects other massively than particularly the practical subjects who have massively suffered when it comes to COVID. Not just in terms of how they're performed and how they happen, but also in terms of the numbers as well. GCSE numbers at a real, and A-level numbers at a real low for some of these creative subjects under the effect of COVID. But how's it been for you? I'm also looking for anyone who's put on a show. So June the 23rd, putting on a show, the ups, the downs, the results. Let's talk about it. And I'm sure we've all got a few stories to tell about our first school show that we put up. And perhaps when was our last? I mean, it's been over a year for us now. And then finally, we're going to talk about on June the 30th, career in the arts, inspiring students. I'm really excited to hopefully be working with some professionals in the industry, working for some of the top theatres in the UK, such as the National Theatre, who are hopefully going to be coming on board and getting involved. And some people who are out there performing as actors across the UK, hearing their views about the career opportunities available in the arts. And that's so important, because I think sometimes people think of the arts and they just think of sometimes acting or directing or the ones that we know, but actually there's so much more out there. You know, puppetry making, prop making, set making, lighting design, stage management, health and safety, you know, all of these roles that are available in the careers that sometimes we don't think about or know about, even as educators, to be able to inspire our students. I think that's important that we're aware of that. It's really great to see lots of you getting involved with today. Make sure you do that. Make sure you hear your views. And after this short little interval, we're going to break down a little bit more about the conversations we've had so far today. What is the one thing a school must do to ensure student success? That's what we've been discussing today. Student success and what that looks like. And we've picked up on so many different themes coming through. I was trying to keep count as they were coming through and listing them as Moomin, our guest speaker today, was going through them. But there was so much to talk about, and it's really opened up a lot of further questions. And this was a question we explored before about why we got into teaching and, you know, why we are where we are today. And I think for me, that's really important to answering this question about success, because somebody gave us something or did something to us that enabled us to be in the position that we are in now and to be successful in our jobs and our careers. So it's about reflecting back on actually, what were we given? And what do people say to us? That's really important. And that reflects back to me on opportunities. You know, a really diverse, rich curriculum full of opportunities, both in and outside of the classroom. Some of my best and most memorable experiences of school are the ones that happened on stage or on a school trip or going on a residential the first time, all of those skills which made me who I am today and gave me the opportunities that I have. And I would be a very different person without those. My favorite quote that I always remember is, you know, we can always remember the school show, the trip that we had, but can we remember that one individual lesson? Can we remember the math lesson we had there or the English lesson we had there? And the answer is usually no, because they're not necessarily the experiences that stick in our mind or shape us. So we want successful students. We have to give them the platform and opportunities to be successful. I think it's really important. And there's one here by @AM Brown Jr. on Twitter who said, consistently reviewing the curriculum being offered to students. I think that's so important because it's changing. It's forever changing, and we have to adapt to that. In my role, looking at PSHE, we've had to adapt a lot recently about things we'd always cover, but about the order that we do it. So we would always cover about harassment and catcalling and the awful things that happen, unfortunately, in life that we want to try and avoid. But we've had to try and move those around a little bit and respond to what's happening. And I spoke at the start of my show about the horrific instance that's happened locally. And I echo what Moomin said when he first joined my show as a guest about our thoughts of all of us here at Teacher Talk Radio. Our thoughts, wishes and prayers are with the family at this difficult time of the young person who is age 21, it's believed, who has unfortunately lost their life due to an altercation that happened outside a shop in a shopping centre, which resulted in fatal stabbings. And I think moments like that really hit home. And I said this at the start, and I say it again, of the power we have as educators. The power to empower is my favourite line at the moment. And it's so true. And I think it resonates with all of us. We have a huge power to influence these decisions and influence people's lives before they go on to make decisions, if that makes any sense. I have no idea if that makes sense. That's just sort of the way I'm viewing it. But actually, we should never underestimate what we can do. And as we spoke about earlier in the show, we've all got ideas. It's like a football. I used to love watching. I only ever watched England national games. The international games. I only ever watched those. I never was really into FA Cup or Premier League or all these other ones, despite being fairly close to Brighton. So the Brighton team, I think, doing all right or quite popular. No idea. But I've never really been into that. But it's just like football. Whenever people watch it, we all think we're experts. We all think we know exactly what to do. Why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? And I barely even play football, but I still think I know what to do. I only just learned what the offside rule was about a year or so ago. So I'm getting there slowly. But that's exactly the same in teaching. I think we've all got some fantastic ideas. And we all think we've got a set view and way that education should be run. But reality is, there's no set formula. None of us have worked it out. None of us really know, in conclusion, the answer to this question, the one thing a school must do to ensure student success, because there isn't one thing. There are hundreds and possibly thousands of things we should do as a school to make students successful. But actually, which one of them matters most? Who knows? People have written many, many books out there, as some of the ones we talked about earlier, that people could go to of the success of being a head teacher, or how to be a successful primary, or how to be a successful secondary, or further education. All of these things are out there, you know, but actually no one's cracked it. You know, we still have schools that are not being outstanding under the Ofsted grading, if that's how we want to look at things, if that's how we want to view things. We've still got schools that are developing and learning and working. And yes, we have schools that are doing really well, but it's not a model that works everywhere. So I think it's about being reflective of where we are and doing what we can do. And I echo this one that Sophie Stella S on Twitter put, you know, putting students at the heart of decision-making. And they have to be at the heart of everything we do. We are a school. I just don't get it sometimes when you see things and it's all about numbers, and I get it's the finances and all those fun things that people post online, but we are a school, and at the heart of what we surely must always have and be doing is the students, because that's why we're there, is it? I mean, that's why I'm there. That's why I go to school, is to teach, is to educate, to, you know, as people said, make a difference. However small, in inverted commas, that might be, because actually you're making a massive difference. You know, our teachers have a huge impact on us and the way that we develop and become as people. But we make a massive difference. And that's why we should be putting students in the middle, right? Is that not obvious? But it's obviously not, because as we say, there is so much out there. But what do you think? You know, I'm just sat here. This is my view of teaching and what makes students successful and what we should be doing. What do you think? The tweet's still out there on Teachers Talk Radio. Why don't you let me know in the chat as well? What do you think we should be doing? What is the success to schools? You can let us know. You can contact us and you can get your voice heard. This is Teachers Talk Radio. Tune in, talk it out. Let's hear what you have to say. And just like that, we are near the end of our show already. Wow. How does an hour and a half go so quickly on a Wednesday morning? It's crazy. So how is the rest of your day looking? Let me know. Great to see some comments coming in there. Happy morning. Thank you so much. Happy morning to you. Good morning to you. Someone once said to me that you make the world of difference by just saying good morning. And absolutely true. There, just those words can make someone feel happy. Random thought just came to my head. Thought I would share. Next week, what are we talking about next week? Before we get to the end of this, or if you're watching it back or listening to it back thinking, I really wish I could have got involved in those conversations. I want to get involved in line. Well, involved live, I get too excited and I can't speak. You absolutely can. Next week we are going to be back again at 7 to 8:30 in the morning for your Wednesday morning breakfast show with me, and we're going to be looking at what schools offer beyond the curriculum. So what skills for life do we offer, and how do we offer it through schools and education? And what else do we offer apart from academics? And that's something that I'm carrying forward. And I'm really excited that I'm going to be joined by the Chief Secretary, I believe, or the CEO. I can't need to get the right wording for this, of the Duke of Edinburgh organisation, John May, who's going to be joining us. And honestly, if you have not heard that man speak, you are missing out on a treat. He is an absolutely incredible speaker. Super funny, loads of great stories, and will offer us a fantastic insight. And I'm really excited to welcome him. And I've got the right title now. He is the Secretary General for the Duke of Edinburgh's International Award, the Deputy Lieutenant for Oxfordshire. He's a Scouter, and apparently he loves eating chocolate cake, which is fantastic. Who doesn't love eating chocolate cake? We've still got a couple of minutes left on our streaming for this, so feel free to still get involved with the chat. I'll also be joined with Louise Kavanagh, who is a assistant head and head of sick form and also head of careers. And that's something I'm really interested in, is how do we prepare our young people for the wider world and the future in front of them? Because it can be a scary old world. And I said earlier in the show that I'd put out a feedback form to my year 11s about how they'd found their PSHE, what things had they enjoyed, what things did they wish they'd know. And the feedback I got and the things they wanted to know about was taxes. What's a mortgage? How do I get a mortgage? One student even said to me, I want to know what all the settings are on a washing machine? And that is a question I would like to know, because I have no idea what all the functions are of a washing machine. I can do the one that goes to, I think, eco, and then I press quick time, so it goes from 4 hours to an hour. And that's about the extent of my knowledge. But it does open up that broader question of actually, you know, what don't we teach young people that we should be teaching them when it comes to their careers, their next steps, living in the wider world? What do you think? The question we'll put out on my Twitter, and make sure you can always follow me. My Twitter is at jamclar96. That's at JAMCLAR96. Connect with me. Tell me what your thoughts are. Connect with Teachers Talk Radio. Get your voice heard. And don't forget, we do have some more fantastic shows happening later on today. So if you've just joined us and you thought, I like the sound of this, I like where this is going, where can I listen more? Well, what else have we got today? I will tell you. We've got the drive home with the fantastic Mr. Gregor at 4 to 5:30 p.m. We've got the late show with Noreen at 8 to 9:30 p.m. And we also have the late, late show with CG Vowles at 10 to 11:30 this evening. Loads happening that you could just have this on in the background pretty much all the time. What else? You know, what else would you want to have on in the background? Thank you so much to everybody for listening today. Thank you so much to my fantastic guest, Mr. Moomin Humayun, head of school. And if you haven't, if you joined us late, or you're watching this back, or you've got to this part and you want to find out more about it, I urge you to make sure you get onto Podbean, onto Spotify, onto Apple, all of these amazing streaming sites. You find and you search Teachers Talk Radio, and you listen back, because what he had to say was absolutely amazing. And I thank him once again. The question that we just had in the chat towards the end there, and we'll just cover it now in our next sort of minute or so, because I think it's a fantastic question, is, you know, having the problem that this person's faced, Mohammed has said, how can we get improved more listening skills? And that's a huge sort of issue that we're looking at, is how do we engage the listening skills? And I think that's a really important topic, and we'll take that into next week's show of what other skills are there that our students need to be knowing. And I think that you've just put in the chat there is an absolutely prime example of those additional skills that we need to, as educators, be thinking about how we can support our young people with those listening skills, those teamwork skills, the ability to self-regulate, to work as an individual as well as a team. I know lots of students who really struggle, particularly when they get to the older age group, because they've not had that skills sort of learned or developed at a younger age, that they really struggle when they've got to work on their own or work independently or be self-reliant and all of those things. So let's unpack those skills, and we'll be asking out live next Wednesday to our fantastic guest, John May and Miss Louise Kavner. So make sure you join me for the Wednesday morning breakfast show next Wednesday, 7 to 8:30 a.m. UK time. Other than that, I've been James Clark, and you've been absolutely amazing. Thank you to everybody. Enjoy the rest of your day, however you are spending it. Stay safe, look after each other, and stay positive. Thank you.
You've been listening to Teachers Talk Radio. Tune in live and listen back at ttradio.org. We look forward to hearing from you next time on Teachers Talk Radio.